listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined as, again, we have the privilege of being each week by Kevin Freeman, our duty expert on matters involving economic warfare. In fact, this is an area of specialization that has prompted him to found globaleconomicwarfare.com. It is also the subject of his two best-selling books, Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack, and his first, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. Kevin is a senior fellow, I'm pleased to say, at the Center for Security Policy and the host of the upcoming television program on the Blaze Network, Economic War Room, with Kevin Freeman. Kevin, so good to have you with us. Welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be here.
Well, I wanted to pick up on something I discussed a moment ago with Gordon Chang, just to get your read on it. There is now, among other places in the Russian press, Sputnik specifically, reporting that what happened when the American company Moody's downgraded modestly some of the Chinese bonds, that there was really an act of economic warfare by the United States against China. What's your response to that?
Well, first off, you know, bonds get downgraded all the time. The U.S. Treasury bond was downgraded, so you know, I don't believe that this was in any way an act of economic warfare, but it's being interpreted that way, and that's not new. We've talked before about the book Unrestricted Warfare, written in 1999 by two senior colonels of the People's Liberation Army, and you open it up, and it talks about downgrade by Moody's, Standard & Poor's, Morgan Stanley of credit ratings, you know, is a weapon, and they talk about those being instruments of U.S. government policy and that they're purposed and directed at the Asian nations, and they were discussing the currency crisis that happened in the late 1990s. But if that was the attitude, then it's likely that it's being perceived in the same way today.
Kevin, if in fact the Chinese choose to retaliate against this perceived act of economic warfare, let me ask you, would you expect that that may take the form of indirect action, supporting rather than constraining their North Korean proxies? Might it be new assaults on our currency, something they've been, again, putting themselves in position to engage in for some time, specifically through manipulation or by, the act of supplanting us as the world's reserve currency, the dollar, that is? Or might it take the form of more direct action against, for example, freedom of navigation operations near their seized and manufactured and now fortified islands?
You know, that's the point of the doctrine of unrestricted warfare, is it could take any of those forms or a combination of those forms, which is the preferred method. We already know that the Chinese have tied North Korea and our economic relationship with China together. We saw that the president has also said, hey, why would we call them a currency manipulator when they're helping us with North Korea? So these two have intimately been tied together. So, of course, they might look at any means of changing the relationship regarding North Korea as a means of pressuring us or responding to this Moody's downgrade. The currency, they've already declared we must de-Americanize the world. Why should America, from their perspective, they say, why should America run the global economic system? And this Moody's thing is just one more thing. They say, look, it's an American ratings agency. Well, it's American because we've pretty much built the global financial system. They don't like it. They want to create an alternative to it, and that means attacking or displacing the U.S. dollar when the time is right for them. So it could be any of these things or a combination of these things.
Well, this is, needless to say, something that we'll be following very closely here at Secure Freedom Radio, Kevin, as there seems now increasingly to be a prospect that things may go from sort of ersatz warfare to unrestricted warfare, including of the violent kind in the South China Sea and beyond. But let me switch gears on you if I can, Kevin. You've been tracking and trying to make sense of the Bitcoin phenomenon. There's a number of different stories regarding this new form of cryptocurrency, I guess you might call it, Let's start with the fact that this currency has just lost $4 billion in value. How did that happen, and what does it portend for the future viability of this this technique, sort of disguising who's using the currency and for what purposes?
Well, let's start with the idea that Bitcoin is really a creative potential internet-based way of keeping track of who owns what money. It's built on the blockchain. The idea is that you can pass it anonymously. It is universal. It covers the whole world. It goes through the internet. It can't be stolen easily. It's highly encrypted. It's protected. It's not subject to governments promoting it so that you run wild in the amount of currency that's put out there. So it's got a lot of positive attributes. But it also has some serious flaws. One of the flaws is that it's extraordinarily volatile. No good currency is volatile, that one day it's worth $2,700 per Bitcoin in U.S. dollars, and the next day it's worth $2,200. That's not a good stable currency. It's not something you can transact global business on, at least not yet. We saw the pricing drop, as you mentioned, $4 billion, which is about a 20% plunge. But if you put $100 in Bitcoin back 7-8 years ago, it's worth measured in the tens of millions of dollars today in translation. So really what it is a speculation using very interesting technology. Now, Australia just recently declared that they would accept Bitcoin as currency, and you could spend it without having to pay a capital gain or being able to take a capital loss if it changed in value against the local currency. That's a big step forward. I see someday we may have a global monetary system that's built around this kind of technology. Right now we're seeing a lot of speculation in it, and it is being touted, and it may have run up in price because the Chinese people are afraid of the local economy, of the yuan and the potential there, and so they don't want to put it in dollars, or maybe they're not allowed to, so they've gone onto these internet sites and they've purchased Bitcoin, and that's a means of getting money out of the country. Right now, you know, maybe $40 billion total outstanding of Bitcoin, but someday it could be very huge.
Let me just ask you one other issue that has arisen, Kevin Freeman, in connection with Bitcoin's use, is that by terrorists. Tell us about that and what the implications might be for all of us if it's continuing.
Well, it's ideal for terrorists and drug dealers because, you know, the transactions that you have to be anonymous. And so historically, transactions have been done with paper money. But it gets really bulky when you're moving millions of dollars around to move paper money. And so you see these drug cartels where they'll seize mountains of cash. And bin Laden was supposedly found with a 500-euro note, I think it was, pinned inside of his jacket. That's what you have to trade in as currency. You can't use your local Visa or MasterCard. It's too easily traced. But Bitcoin allows people to move large sums of money very anonymously. You don't see who's sending it. You don't see who's receiving it. It's not easy to track. And so it is something that is being adopted by terrorists, and it's a reason that governments would like to crack down on the use of Bitcoin or create their own alternative where they can actually see behind the curtain and know who's transacting the business. And I think that's probably where governments of the world will head. So the anonymity goes away, but some of the other features remain present.
We'll look forward to more of your reporting on this really interesting and very, very dynamic subject at globaleconomicwarfare.com and in the forthcoming Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. Kevin, thanks for your time today. Keep up the great work, my friend, for all of us.